tonight we're going to talk about, for some of y'all, you'd almost call it a dirty word, snow. We're going to talk about snow tonight. It's kind of interesting that a lot of people I found, you know, I'm one of those strange people. I really like snow. I mean, I really like snow. I don't want to be caught in the middle of a snowstorm in my car trying to get out to Doddridge County or anything, but I like it, especially when you don't have to travel in it or have some important appointments and all that. And I think about, not everybody, but several of y'all are already retired, so you can say, well, it can snow and I'll just sit home. It's okay. So I'm one of the people that likes snow, but you hear a lot of people complaining about snow. And you feel like, for those of us that like snow, at least elements of it, you feel like saying, you realize you could move south if you wanted to. Because West Virginia is just going to have snow. You know, I don't think we have as much. Talk to some of the old timers. I don't think we have as much as we used to, but we're probably going to have snow. But it's interesting, even the people that don't like snow and complain about snow, for Christmas, they want a white Christmas. You know, I don't want it to snow any other time, but it's got to be white Christmas. You know, the Bible has a fair amount to say about snow. It's mentioned 24 times in the Bible, snow. And we're going to look at some of them tonight and have some application to that. And that's why I have 10 different things to say about snow. And I got verses accompanying them, and I think I got them. I was zipping on that computer. I think I burned the keyboard up trying to get these done there just a little bit ago, and I plopped them from my Bible study program into my word processing program, and I might have messed something up, but I hope they're all there. And rather than taking all the time to turn to these, we're going to look at some of these and some interesting things about this time of year. You know, Jesus was not born on zero date. You know, somewhere along the line, the calendars, I'm not going to go into a whole lot of detail about that, but probably most conservative theologians believe that Jesus was probably born in 4 BC. We're not sure what time of year it was, but some people, and including myself, until I really looked it up a little bit, I knew, heard a little bit in seminary, and the guy talked about a little bit about the weather and all. But I thought I'd talk a little bit about the weather that they have over in those parts. Again, no one would say that Jesus was definitely born on December 25th. I mean, that's just a date set aside that we celebrate the birth of Jesus. So we really don't know what time of year. We know about the year, about 4 BC. But to give you an idea, point number one is snow in Israel. Snow in Israel. Let me give you something to kind of base that on. Clarksburg's average snowfall is 34 inches a year. Clarksburg, 34 inches a year. The average snowfall in Bethlehem, according to what I can find, of course, I like you, I Google these things, 21 inches of snow. Okay, so Bethlehem, 21 inches of snow, Clarksburg, 34. Jerusalem averages 4 to 6 inches of snow. 4 to 6 inches of snow. From what I understand, in Jerusalem, a lot of the country can see Mount Hermon. And it's snow-covered a big time of the year. And from what I understand, it serves as a source of the Jordan River and much of Israel's water supply. So you know how out west they show the snow-capped mountains. And from what I understand, I've not been to the Holy Land, I've not been to Israel, but from what I understand, Mount Hermon has an elevation of 9,200 feet. That's a pretty tall mountain. Spruce Knob, if you want a comparison, how many of y'all been to Spruce Knob? Yeah, beautiful, beautiful. I've been there at sunset a couple times. Man, I would highly recommend you go right there at sunset. But the elevation of that is 4,862, so about 5,000 versus 9,200. So Mount Hermon's a lot taller than that. So at least some of the year, it depends on what you read, maybe most of the year, it's snow-covered at least at times. And there's such a variation in elevation in Israel. It depends, you know, where you are, how much snow you get. But it's interesting, I did find out a couple things about Jerusalem. In 1950, they had 40 inches of snow in Jerusalem. 2013, they had 16 to 28 inches of snow. So they can get a lot of snow, but it doesn't stick around a whole lot, from what I understand. Now, if you want to look at the average temperatures, Clarksburg winter months, I average December, January, February, our average high is 41 and our average low is 23. So if you go to Bethlehem, their average high is in the 50s, average low is in the mid-40s. So mid-50s, mid-40s, and that's the same, it said, for Jerusalem and Bethlehem, the same. Mid-50s to mid-40s, high mid-50s, low mid-40s. So to give you some idea, if you're thinking that Israel is like this tropical nation and it's always hot, it's not. I mean, they do have winter and they do have snow. They're familiar with snow in certain parts of the country, just even in our state. We have the eastern panhandle and the mountains over there gets dumped on sometimes. We're like, what snow? You know, we got rain. So it's kind of the same thing, but to them, it was familiar. It was a familiar thing to see snow. Number two, there's only one place in Scripture that like a snowy day is alluded to. Snowy day. And it's in that first reference there. These are going through David's mighty men. You know, remember David's mighty men that fought with David? And this is one of them. And Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, I guess, who had done many acts, he slew two lion-like men of Moab. He went down also and slew a lion in the midst of a pit. Notice it says, in time of snow. So it was either snowing at the time or speaking of winter. We're not sure. So we looked at snow in Israel. There's one recorded instance of a snowy day, if you will. Third, this is not rocket science, okay? You know this. But God has control over the snow. Snow is controlled by God. That's point number three. And we have three references to that. Job 37:6. Now this is speaking of God. For he saith to the snow, be thou on the earth. Likewise to the small rain and to the great rain of his strength. So when God wants it to snow, it snows. Okay? God has control of the elements. God has control of everything. Now, you have to understand that he's given a lot of the control. The prince of the power of the air and the god of this world is Satan. So he's given them some control. Anything bad that happens comes from Satan, but God ultimately can veto the devil, right, in weather. And he can say, okay, I'm going to have it snow. So the next time you start complaining, you're complaining against God. Okay, Psalm 147. How many of you like snow? I may be saying all this about not liking snow. How many of you like snow? Wow, a majority of people really like snow. That's good. Another verse that mentions that God has control over the snow. Psalm 147, verse 16. He giveth snow like wool. Who's he? God. He scattereth the hoarfrost like ashes. So he gives the frost. He gives the snow. He gives the rain. He gives all of that. All right. One more verse, Psalm 148, verse 8. If you have your sheet. Does everyone have a sheet? Did Larry do a good job? A plus, Larry. A plus. We're giving everybody a sheet. Okay. Well, that's good. I knew I could count on you doing that. 1, 2, 1, 2. Psalm 148, 8. It says, fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind, fulfilling his word. So God can control the weather, and he does control the weather, okay? So I'm thankful that God controls the weather. So we looked at snow in Israel. They're familiar with snow in Israel. Second, there's one recorded snowy day, perhaps, if that's not speaking of a season found in Scripture. Third, we just looked at God has control over snow. Number four, do you know snow has a purpose? Snow has a purpose. Notice in Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11, that snow and rain have a purpose. How many of you have ever said something like this? Yeah, we need a good snow to help that old water table out. Yeah, how many of you ever said something like that, right? There's truth to that. It says in Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So it tells you right there, there's a purpose of rain, there's a purpose of snow. Can I tell you that this is an amazing book? Amen. Amazing book. You can find all the answers in here. Now, it's not intended to be a science book, so it doesn't give every single little detail about science, but everything in here is true. And this is, man, it's a good pocketbook. I put stuff in my Bible to save it, don't y'all? That's my prayer list. But, you know, the important thing is to know that this book contains all the answers we need to know, written by God. So, we see there that snow has a purpose. But it goes on, it kind of compares it to the purpose. It says it waters the earth, right, so that the plants and everything will grow. If you stop the rain and you stop the snow and you stop the dew and you stop all that, we're in trouble, all right? We're going to have a serious drought. Some parts, I guess, of this country are in a pretty serious drought. I haven't heard a lot about it lately. I suppose they're still in a drought. But that's the reason. It has a purpose. Snow has a purpose. So next time you start complaining about snow, if you complain, just think, okay, I'm going to keep my mouth shut because it has a good purpose, okay? But notice verse 11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. We quote this quite a bit. It's talking about the word, talking about the word of God in general. So shall my word, God speaking, that goeth forth out of my mouth, isn't this God's word? It shall not return unto me void or empty or useless, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So what we do, we give out gospel tracts with the idea that this is not going to come back void. We pack 3,400 bags of candy with gospel tracts and gave them out at the Christmas parade, or gave out 3,030 of them to people along the parade route, and the rest of them will be given out as well, knowing that God's word does not return void. And when we talk to someone about the Lord and share with them the gospel, that word's not going to return void. It's going to work on those hearts. The word of God is quick and powerful. It means it's alive and it's powerful. So just as the word of God has a purpose, he starts the argument by saying the snow has a purpose. So, snow in Israel, they were familiar with snow and are familiar with snow. One recorded day, snowy day in Scripture. Snow is controlled by God. Number four, snow has a purpose. It waters the earth so that it can bring forth its plant. Number five, now this is brilliant. You ready for this? I love making these brilliant points. Are y'all ready for this? Tim, don't you like these brilliant points that I make? Yeah, well, good. I appreciate that. Snow is white. Aren't you amazed at that? Now, there's several things in Scripture. We'll hit these pretty quick, but snow is used in Scripture to say that something was really, really white. The first one is leprosy. It's used three times, I found, in Scripture to describe leprosy. Remember leprosy, the disease that is mentioned several times. The Lord healed several lepers. From what I understand, it's like a nerve disease, and really the nerve endings start to die, and then if they start to die, you turn really white, your complexion is really white, and you lose all sensitivity, and therefore, you know, you don't pay attention, so you end up hurting or losing a finger because it's not painful anymore because the nerve endings have died. That's kind of the way I understand what leprosy is. If you know a lot more about it than I do, that's good. Enlighten me. But the idea is, in Scripture about snow, that leprosy is very, very white like snow. Exodus chapter 4, verse 6, there on the sheet. Now, remember, the Lord is talking to Moses, Mount Sinai, saying, you know, hey, here you are, burning bush. I need you to go back to Egypt, lead the children of Israel out. And remember, he tells him to put his hand into his bosom and pull it out, and it's white, and back in, and it's healed. It says, and the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. White, speaking of the whiteness of snow. Numbers chapter, chapter 12 and verse 10, this is speaking of Miriam. Remember, Miriam was cursed by God there and got leprosy. It says, and the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. Remember, if I remember the story correctly, you know, Moses implored God on her behalf, and he did heal her, but she had to stay out of the camp for a while. It's used to illustrate, you know, just like y'all know how white snow is, leprosy is white. And then one more as far as leprosy, Elisha's servant, Gehazi, I guess you'd say, 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 27. Remember Naaman had leprosy? And he came to Elisha. He was told about Elisha because he had a Hebrew girl that was one of his servants. And he said, go to see Elisha. And Naaman, he can heal you. And so remember, he did that in that story and everything. But remember in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 27, right there in chapter 5, Naaman wanted to give Elisha something, and he said no. But then Gehazi gets a bright idea. I'm going to go and get what the blessing was he was going to give to Elisha. I want it for myself. And because of that, it says in verse 27 of 2 Kings 5, the leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from the presence a leper as white as snow. So leprosy is white. Snow is white. Angel garments are described in Matthew 28 and verse 3. This is at the resurrection of Jesus. To give you an idea, it says, talking about the angel that was there at the tomb where Jesus resurrected, it says in verse 3, his countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. So you automatically, you've seen snow enough, you automatically think, boy, that was white, right? Have you ever been out on a snowy day and the sun's peeking out too on top of that? It's hard to see anything. Isn't there a word for that called snow blindness? And you got to put your sunglasses on. So the idea here is the raiment of this angel was bright, white snow. So it's used to describe the whiteness of leprosy, the whiteness of the angel garment at the resurrection. It's also used to describe Jesus' raiment at the transfiguration. Remember when he met with Moses and Elijah on the mountaintop, and he had Peter, James, and John with him. And they saw Jesus transfigured or changed before them, those three. Notice what it says about that. Let's see, did I skip one? By golly, I think I did. I thought I might have skipped one. If you have your Bible, it's found in Mark. I'll go ahead and turn there, and you can turn there too if you like. Mark chapter 9 and verse 3. Mark chapter 9 and verse 3. It speaks of the raiment of Jesus at the transfiguration. Mark chapter 9 and verse 3. It says, and his raiment became shining, speaking of the raiment of Jesus, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. So the actual raiment of Jesus at the transfiguration was as white, exceeding white as snow, it says. And then God's garment in Daniel chapter 7, that should be back on your sheet again. In Daniel chapter 7 and verse 9, it talks about the garment of the Lord. It says, and I beheld, that is, till the thrones were cast down and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, speaking of God himself, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. So it's describing even God himself and the whiteness of his garment. And lastly, in Revelation chapter 1, verse 14, snow is used as a describer, if you will, how white it was, God's hair. In Revelation chapter 1, it says, his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. So snow is white, profound. It's used to describe leprosy in Scripture, the angel's garment at the resurrection, Jesus' raiment at the transfiguration, It's used to describe God's garment, God the Father, and it's used to describe God the Father's hair in Revelation 1:14. So we've looked at snow in Israel. They're familiar with it. Yes. Matthew 28:3. That's all right. You don't come to church much, do you? I'm kidding. That's my wife, in case anybody's... Some people might be listening into Facebook. Boy, how rude, preacher. I'm kidding, my wife, okay? All right. So, snow in Israel, they're familiar with it. One snowy day is recorded in Scripture. Snow is controlled by God. Number four, snow has a purpose. It waters the earth, just like the Word of God. It doesn't return void. It accomplishes something. Snow is white and is used in Scripture to describe leprosy, angel's garment, Jesus' raiment. At the Transfiguration, God the Father's garment and God the Father's hair. Number six, this is another one. Snow is cold and refreshing. Okay? Snow is cold and refreshing. If you look at Proverbs 25:13, it says, as the cold of snow in the time of harvest. Remember, Proverbs is those nice little sayings. This is one of those. As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, you know, like what harvest time is like hot, right? But if you had some cold, it would be refreshing. You know, we kind of say, well, you know, it's like going into an air conditioning building whenever it's on a hot day. That's kind of what it's saying. That's cold, so it was known to be cold. So as the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him. For he refreshes the soul of his masters. They can trust him. It's a good thing. We can depend upon you. So snow is cold and refreshing. That's number six. Number seven, snow is clean and pure. Look at Job 9:30. It says, if I wash myself with snow water and make my hands never so clean. So it's saying that snow water is clean and it is what? Pure. And Job writes there that that's the case with snow water. Now, how many of you ever made snow ice cream? Yeah, yeah. Amy's done a pretty good job of that. We've done that a few times, maybe more than a few. I don't know. But it is known to be, now I'm not sure I'm not sure with all the things we're putting in the atmosphere, but we assume, I guess we're not glowing or anything. So I guess it's a good thing, but it's known to be clean and pure. And Job writes of that. Lamentations chapter 4, verse 7 says, her Nazarites were purer than snow. They were whiter than milk. They were more ruddy in body than rubies. Their polishing was of sapphire. So the idea again is clean and pure. And at least from God's perspective, without the pollution, it's clean and pure. So it snows in Israel. There's a snowy day recorded. God has control over the snow. Snow has a purpose. Snow is white. Snow is cold and refreshing. Snow is clean and pure. Number eight, snow does not have to make us afraid. Granted, they didn't have to drive their car in the snow. But you say, where does it say we don't have to be afraid? Or who was not afraid? Well, it's right there on your sheet. Proverbs 31. Remember the Proverbs 31 woman, the virtuous woman? You know, I want you to keep in mind, if you try to meet all that and drive yourself crazy, if you don't, you'll probably drive yourself insane just trying to reach the standard. It's a standard, okay? Y'all with me on that? But it says of that woman, she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. In other words, they have nice warm clothes, everything is good, so the virtuous woman and her family doesn't have to be afraid. So if you don't like snow, just bundle up really good. You don't have to be afraid of it. Just go out there and put on a good pair of boots and good traction boots, and everything is good, okay? All right. I'm not so sure the principle is there not to be afraid of the snow, but the idea of preparation is, okay? So snow does not have to make us afraid. Number nine, snow, this is the last two, okay? This is two that really has more meaning than the others, I would say, or more power maybe than the others. We looked at snow in Israel. Yeah, it snows. We looked at a snowy day. It's recorded in Scripture. God has control over the snow. Snow has a purpose. Snow is white, and it's used to describe leprosy, angel's garment, Jesus' raiment, God's hair. Snow is cold and refreshing. Snow is clean and pure, according to Scripture. Snow does not have to make us afraid, according to the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31. But right here, number 9, snow is a picture of salvation. Snow can be a picture of salvation. If you look at Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, it says right there, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Do you know one of the greatest things about snow in Scripture to me is it's a picture of the way I appear before God when I trust Him as my Savior. You know, it says my sins would be as scarlet, though they be red like crimson. You know, that's dark, right? That's dark red. I mean, it's saying we got a lot of sin in our life, right? And though that's the way it appears, when we trust Jesus, He makes us as white as snow. It says they shall be as wool. So for those that may not like snow, if you know Jesus, at least use it. You know, I imagine that this carpet would be kind of that way. It's not a bright red, so it's kind of a crimson, kind of a dark, right? Maybe not quite as dark as crimson. But the idea is our sins were dark and dirty and black, is in a sense, evil. But God, when we trust Him as our Savior, I think this is talking about when people go before God and recognize who God is in salvation, we can take that principle to today out of Isaiah. Guess what happens? Our sins get washed clean, as white as snow. You know, really it's talking also in a sense when the sins are washed clean. Now, I use the analogy like a whiteboard. You know, you got all these things written on the board. You know, all the sin. Just think about that for a moment. What if every sin you ever committed was written on a whiteboard? Yeah, a blackboard would probably be better, wouldn't it? But a whiteboard, and I got all of these things. You're dating yourself. Now, you got this whiteboard, and you got all these sins written up here. I mean, just think about all of them. But when you trust Jesus, you know how black and dark that is and all the guilt and the shame that comes from that? But when you trust Jesus as your Savior, recognize who God really is, guess what? It's all wiped away, right? And it becomes white as snow. So, just if you know Jesus and you look at snow, let that be a reminder of what God has done for you. One more. Not only is snow a picture of salvation, I think this one is more akin to the idea that snow is a picture of God's forgiveness once we are saved. Now, that might be a little confusing to you, but when you're saved, do you realize that your past sins, your present sins, and your future sins are all forgiven? Right? I mean, they're all wiped clean. But what can happen in our relationship with the Lord, in our fellowship with the Lord? I mean, say, for instance, this tomorrow, I just say, you know what? I'm just going to quit doing what God wants me to do. I'm not going to read the Bible. I'm not going to pray. I'm not going to tell anybody about Jesus. I'm just going to get in neutral. Now, I know that I'm saved, okay? I know that I'm saved. I'm 11 years old, Hopewell Baptist Church, trusted Jesus as my Savior. I know that I'm on my way to heaven. Now, it's not a wise choice, but I might say, I'm just kind of weary. I'm just kind of tired. I'm just going to quit for right now. If I know Jesus as my Savior, I am still saved. But I can replace all the things of God with things that are not good, right? I'm still saved. I've been forgiven my past, my present, and my future sins. But you know what will happen to my relationship and my close fellowship with the Lord? It will become dark, if you will, right? That those sins will hide the closeness that I once had with the Lord. And I think a lot of Christians are like that. And sometimes that's the reason Christians who are truly saved sometimes start to wonder and doubt their salvation because there's such a distance between them and God. Sometimes it's they've never been saved. Sometimes a person who says, well, I'm not going to come to church, I'm going to go, they never were saved in the first place. But I'm talking about someone who was truly saved. The point I'm trying to make is it can muddy up and dirty up the relationship I have with God when I sin against God. So it's important, as 1 John 1:9, what it says, for if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, right? And I think in Psalm 51, if you understand what's going on, this is right after David sinned with Bathsheba. Had Uriah killed, had a relation with Bathsheba and covered it all up. Remember, there was a huge cover up there. It was a scandal. And remember Nathan, the prophet, came to him and said, you know, gave him this little story about a guy that had a little lamb and it was his favorite. He was real close to the family and this other guy had all kind of animals and livestock. But a friend came to him and he decided to come and take that poor lamb of that one poor fella. And David was enraged by that. Oh, let me know who is that? Well, he ought to be taken care of. And Nathan said, you the man. That's what you did. You had all that you needed and you went and took another man's wife, had him killed. And on. And this is in that chapter where he is coming before God saying, God, I need forgiveness. Now, he had a relationship with God already, right? But that had completely just taken him off track in the sense of his closeness with God, right? And listen to what he says. He says, purge me with hyssop. Now, I don't know about you. I'm not that familiar with hyssop. But I looked it up. Now, I've heard it all my life, and I probably looked it up several times, but I kind of forget. Now, it tells me that it's a species of plant that's in the mint family. That's what this Bible dictionary said. Hyssop, that is, was an aromatic shrub under 3 feet tall with clusters of yellow flowers. It grew in rocky crevices and was cultivated on terraced walls. Bunches of hyssop were used to sprinkle blood on the doorposts in Egypt. Remember that? When the death angel was coming upon Egypt and they said sprinkle, they were supposed to take that hyssop plant and dip it in the blood of the sacrifice and sprinkle it on their doorposts. It's interesting, it's on the sides and on the top. It's kind of like a picture of the cross, really, if you connect that. But it says, and in purification ceremonies. David mentioned it as an instrument of inner cleansing right here. It was used at the crucifixion to relieve Jesus' thirst. So it's kind of interesting to think about all that, right? But when we sin against God, snow is a picture of what God can do in that closeness and in that fellowship with him. So do you see that point? Any questions about that? We're kind of informal tonight, but any questions about that? So God uses snow as a picture in Scripture, quite a few things. I'll repeat it one more time and then emphasize one thing for application, one or two things for application tonight. Hopefully you've gained a little bit of knowledge that they do know what snow is in Israel. And it does snow in Israel. They knew what it meant. They knew about snow. Sometimes they get a lot of snow. It doesn't stick around a long time. Their mountains get a lot of snow from what I gather. A snowy day is mentioned once in Scripture. Snow is controlled by God. Snow has a purpose. Snow is white. It's used, therefore, as white to describe leprosy, the angel garment at the resurrection, Jesus' raiment at the transfiguration, God's garment, God the Father, that is, and God the Father's hair in Revelation 1. Snow is cold and refreshing, according to Proverbs 25:13. Snow is clean and pure, according to a couple references in the Bible. Snow does not have to make us afraid, according to the virtuous woman. Description of her, that her family is not afraid because they got good warm clothes on. And the two that I really want to emphasize tonight, snow is a picture of salvation. It's what we can become before God when we trust the Lord as our Savior. I'm thankful that he takes away the crimson. The scarlet. He takes away the guilt. He takes away the shame. He takes away all of the blackness and the evilness of us. and makes us in our standing before God as white as snow. Wow. I hope that if you're here tonight and you're a Christian, you say, wow, I'm thankful. And when you see snow, some parts of West Virginia, I think, got some snow last night. We didn't. Was it spitting snow when you come in? I wasn't out there right before church. So, all right. So, see, perfect timing to talk about snow. But when you experience that snow and you're a child of God, I want you to go out and say, praise the Lord. This is the way I look before my God because I trusted Jesus as my Savior. And then, the second application. If you're here tonight, you say, you know what? I know that I'm saved. And I know positionally I'm white as snow before God. My sins have been washed away. But guess what? I'm not doing what I know I should be doing right now. Or I'm doing things I should not be doing right now, and I know it. Can I tell you that that's making your relationship with the Lord not what it should be? It's making the relationship with the Lord more distant. It's coloring it to a sense, if you will. It's making it not as white and pure as snow as it should be. You know what I'd like to see this Christmas season? If I describe you, or anyone's listening, if that describes you and you know you're not doing what God wants you to do, even as a Christian, I want you to know that you need to go before God and confess your sin. You need to go before God and say, God, I'm a Christian. I know I'm saved. You're my heavenly Father. But I've let sin enter into my life, and I'm not doing what I should be doing. I want you to sprinkle me with, like, hyssop, as it says. Purge me with hyssop. I shall be clean. Wash me. I want to be whiter than snow in positionally right now before you, in my closeness and in my fellowship with you. So if that's you, and I'm not saying it is, but if that happens to be you, when you see it snow, I want you to say, first of all, thank you, Lord, I'm saved. And in my relationship with you as far as salvation, I'm white as snow, but I've let things come in and help me to make it right. I hope every time you see snow, it just reminds you, you know, I need to get right with the Lord. I need to get right with the Lord. I come up with a word or a phrase. I've been calling it radical rededication. I'm not sure lately I've seen a radical rededication of a Christian back to the Lord. That's for someone who's saved. And I'm hoping that God gives us in each one of our lives that if we need it, that we get radically rededicated to the Lord. You know what I mean? You know, the kind that, like, I know emotion's not, I'm not an emotional person, so you know I wouldn't emphasize emotion, but the kind that at least makes you really upset on the inside. Like, man, I need to get right with God. I need to be back in close fellowship. I need to make sure that God makes me in my relationship and my closeness and my fellowship with Him back where it used to be. So, whatever God is speaking to your heart about, if you would bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment, and let me ask you tonight. I'm not going to ask you to indicate in any way, but I hope that you have a greater appreciation of snow, even if you still don't like the stuff. I hope biblically you have a little bit better appreciation of it. And I hope that you're reminded, if you're a child of God, when you go out in the snow and see any snow, you can say, you know what, I thank the Lord that in God's eyes, positionally right now, since I trusted Jesus, I am as white as snow. My sins are as white as snow. But also, by the same token, if you're a child of God who knows that you're saved and positionally are white as snow, but in your close relationship with the Lord, in that fellowship, you've let some things happen. You've let some sin enter in there that should not be, or some things you should be doing you're still not doing. I hope when you see snow, you may say, Lord, I need to get right with you. Do you know what? You don't have to wait to see snow. Tonight, you can say that. If you know that there's some things in your life ought not be, or there's some things that should be in your life that's not, guess what? Positionally, in your relationship, in your closeness with the Lord right now, guess what? You can become white as snow again. You can say, Lord, I confess. Lord, forgive me of that. Forgive me of that. Forgive me of that. Help me, Lord, to be all that you want me to be. Would you do that right now in the silence of a moment just between you and God, if that's you? Lord, in my closeness with you, I want to be as white as snow again. Lord, I confess my sins. Forgive me of my sins. I'm a Christian. been a Christian for maybe years. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this amazing book called the Bible that you've given to us. We thank you for the references to snow that we've looked at tonight. We thank you that you provided a way for us to become whiter than snow positionally with you. Lord, when we trust Jesus as our Savior, and Lord, we just praise you for that. If anyone listening in has never done that, I pray that this Christmas they may call out to you. Anyone perhaps here that's never done this, Lord, may just call out to you, say, Lord, I'm a sinner, forgive me of my sins. I believe Jesus died for me on the cross and resurrected back to life, and I confess Jesus as my Savior. Mean it from their heart. Lord, they can be saved this Christmas, and positionally before God, Lord, washed whiter than snow, as white as the snow. Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, I pray that you'll help any of us as Christians, Lord, who may have strayed from you and wandered from you in our close walk with you, as David did. Lord, I pray that you'll help us. May not be as serious or big a sins as what as we categorize sin. It's still blackness and evil before you and can cause a wedge in our relationship with you, but I pray that folks will get right with you there. And Lord, positionally in that close relationship, Lord, in that fellowship, Lord, that relationship will become white again. Lord, we just pray and thank you, Lord, for our church. Lord, help us to see increase and revival. We pray in Jesus' name.